Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films. Every week we talk about current cinema, the latest trailers, and we pick a new favorite film every single episode.
And I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts!
Don't say that! Never say that! Goonies never say die!
We're the best! We're the beautiful! We're the only!
Now, here's your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD.
Welcome to the Back in Time podcast. I am your host, Kyle Autry, joined as always by my co-host, JD. JD, how are you today?
Dude, I am doing pretty effing awesome. Is it not just like an awesome feeling in the air right now? Like Phil Collins be damned.
I can feel it calling in the air tonight. Little Phil Collins, man, I love that. We used to warm up to that song, didn't we?
Yeah, you know what? I kind of remember that in a very creepy way. Almost nightmarish.
Yeah. Can I talk about a nightmarish thing with you? So, you know, I recently went to Texas. By the way, it's like hotter than Satan's butthole in Texas. But that's here nor there. It's like 108 the whole time we were there. On the way, I get to my first destination, Indianapolis Airport. I fly to Texas. My friend picks me up. We go to the Onnit Academy, which is like a really cool training facility in Texas. She's like, hey, they're going to check your ID when we get in there, so you want to make sure you have that. I was like, yeah, no problem. I'll grab my my wallet out of my safe hiding spot where I put it so I wouldn't lose it. Open up my bag. I got no wallet. I have gone 11 days now since I flew out. Still no wallet. Nobody turned it in. I think they grabbed my wad of cash that was in the wallet and tossed it in the old trash can. How about that for a shitty start to the week, huh?
That definitely sucks.
Have you ever lost your wallet before and had like replace everything?
No, I have not. I am very, 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 very neurotic about my wallet.
Yeah. So I'm kind of the same way. Like I'm always worried that I'm going to lose it. So when I was going through TSA, I had this like drawstring bag. It was it's Ghostbusters, of course. Total nerd. So I'm like, I'm going to put my wallet in here because I'm wearing gym shorts. I don't want it to just fall out of the pocket when I sit down. I went in the bag one time for a pair of headphones. I don't know how that wallet's gone. I never got up and went to the bathroom. I didn't get anything out of it. It's like the most confusing thing that's ever happened to me. So, and of course they could care less at the airport, even though they have cameras like every square inch. Of course they weren't going to like pull up the footage and find out where it fell. Yeah, I'm just like shit out of luck. That's how my week's been, JD. What about you, man?
You always ask me a question when I'm eating a peanut.
Well, you're always eating peanuts.
Let me tell you something about my week. I bought a bag of peanuts.
Yeah.
I have this really, really weird quirk of mine where I like to eat the peanuts with the shell.
Okay, that's a little weird. Yep. Now, are we talking about like big peanuts? Like when I go to Texas Corral and they give me a bucket and I get to smash them on the floor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like to eat the shell.
Okay.
It's great fiber, but with great fiber comes great responsibility.
And with great responsibility comes a large collection of poopery spray. Okay. Am I wrong?
No, you are not wrong, and you're not an asshole either. You win the gold star.
Shomer Shabbos. Awesome, man. Well, I'm excited to talk about Can't Hardly Wait. I want to thank our viewers and listeners for voting on this because it was a pretty competitive poll topic, but Can't Hardly Wait squeezed out the win over all of our 90s rom-coms. There are some good choices on there. But so you guys we're going to be breaking that down in a couple minutes. I want to remind you guys to rate, review, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Google Play, YouTube. While you're at it, throw us a quick little 5-star review, write a sentence, say something like, you know, Kyle's awesome, JD's a meh. You know what I mean? JD, you're just meh. Sorry.
I'll take meh. I mean, you've said a lot worse things about me, so.
Meh. Yeah. No, I totally get it. So, yeah, just, you know, drop that review in there. Of course, if you don't like us, if you don't like the show, as usual, I mean, we mention this like every week. We hate you, of course. But yeah, for sure, keep hitting the download button. Just don't leave a review, because that's going to help with the numbers and, you know, more listeners, more sponsors come on board. We're going to have some more sponsors coming up. I'm working on some cool things for the show. JD, I don't know if I mentioned this to you. I don't think I did. Usually I'll text you about this stuff, but we're coming up on 20,000 downloads, man. Wow, we should be hitting that this week. And it's also, since this will come out on the 13th, I believe, that is our 1 year anniversary since we've been dating. I mean, since we've been doing this podcast. Can you believe it's been a year already? It doesn't feel like it's gone that fast.
No, it doesn't. And that's the suck part about time. It just flies on by without even stopping to let you know what the hell is going on.
Yeah. So thank you guys for sticking with us for the last 52 episodes. About to be number 53 when this bad boy drops later in the week. And yeah, I think we got at least another 53 in us. We might even have some 69 in us. Whoa. That's a weird thought, huh? I don't know. That took a wrong turn. Speaking of wrong turn, JD, how many times did you see that movie in theaters?
31.
31 times. Unbelievable. I'll never get old. That'll never get old, and that's going to be a future episode.
You know, when it comes to being a human, you really have to push the boundaries of what you're capable of doing. Have I ever told you about the RoboCop theme song challenge?
No. Lay it on me.
I once dared myself to listen to the RoboCop theme song for 8 hours straight. And I did it.
Why? Why would you do that to yourself?
Don't you ever just want to find out what you are capable of?
I do, but that usually doesn't come with like a theme song challenge.
I want to do the same thing with Wicked Game by Chris Isaak, but I was talked out of it by a friend.
Okay.
I'll tell you this, by the end of it, like hour one was a breeze, hour two, three, fine, get a little sick around hour four, five, six, but come hour seven, every time the song started, I had this headache. Like, and it's just because it's like this, is how it starts. And I'm just like, oh no, it's happening again. I pretty much, I mean, that's the torture that they do to people in Prisoner of War, Guantanamo Bay and Gitmo and all that nonsense. And, you know, it was, for me, it was a Monday.
Yeah. Well, by the magic of editing, the entire time that you just said that, the theme song has been playing in the background.
Isn't that magical?
Yeah, it is magical. You know what's really good that you should try and listen to for 8 hours? Would be the theme music and the soundtrack for Can't Hardly Wait. This is going to be a fun one to discuss. But before we get into the music and talk about Third Eye Blind and all that cool stuff, let's go ahead and pull up the trailer on YouTube and let's listen and watch. Well, we can watch. You guys might be listening to the original trailer. So if you're by a computer, just type it into YouTube, Can't Hardly Wait, original trailer. You're going to be looking for the trailer titled Can't Hardly Wait, 1998 trailer, uploaded by X Lupas. It has 724,000 views. I'll give a 3, 2, 1 click countdown, and we will watch this thing together. JD, are you ready?
Can you dig it?
In our archives, Shaq Week. 3, 2, 1, click.
At first it was also unbelievable. Mike Dexter wanted to date me. I know why I started dating him. I just don't know why I did it for so long.
Well, he is the most dope guy in school.
Yeah, and school's over.
His party tonight? Amanda suddenly being single? It's fate. Fate has opened me a window.
Got to have sex tonight. It took me all day, but I narrowed it down to a list of 10 very lucky finalists. You know what I'm saying?
Do you think there'll be any girls there?
Are you kidding me? People may even be having sex tonight.
Get that back to me! I can kiss my ass!
Have you seen Amanda Bacon?
Yeah, Amanda saw him.
I'm thinking about asking her out, boy.
Oh.
God, you're a hot.
I built this with
7 bottles of vodka last September. It's been in my freezer for...
Alright, y'all, check it. Time to get busy.
Who does he think he is, Brad Pitt?
And you're like, Glennon.
But with bigger boobs.
Totally bigger boobs.
I can't feel my legs!
Columbia Pictures presents an event 18 years in the making. When you find out who your friends really are.
You don't think she's prettier than Gwyneth.
Not even.
What your future really holds.
I am going to have sex with someone at this party.
And how one night can change your life.
I don't know about you, but I really believe that there's one person out there. And for me, it's gotta be Amanda.
I wonder how it's gonna be when you don't know.
There's a mirror right there. Why don't you take a look, okay? You're white.
How's it gonna be when you're so I'm out there?
Guys like us, we are dying a dozen.
When there's no one there to talk to.
It's fate, but it only takes you so far, because once you're there, it's up to you to make it happen.
Amanda?
Hardly wait.
Wishing has the winning play. Huntington, Huntington, hey.
JD, start us off, man. What do you think of the trailer?
One of those trailers that gives you shivers. The music is the real deal. I love all of those people popping around and all those actors that I forgot was in this.
Yeah.
This is like an exciting time because Class of 98, geez. What was that, 20 years ago?
Yeah, 20-year anniversary for this movie last June.
Goodness gracious, that was a lifetime ago.
One thing I didn't know, I guess I never noticed this the first time I watched it, but there's actually two different Third Eye Blind songs in this trailer. I mean, come on, pulling at my heartstrings. They know what I like. But yeah, I have to agree, the trailer is awesome. Yeah, I wrote down a couple of things that I really liked. One... I really love the Jason Segel cameo. He's got such a small role in this, but when he comes out with the watermelon, like, I'm like, oh man, who would have thought like 6 years later this guy would be like the biggest star out of that entire group? Seth Green's stupid outfit, that made me laugh a little bit. And I can't feel my legs, man. I forgot about that line. And the kid from Hook, I'm looking forward to discussing him more.
It's so great. Again, I love Screen Junkies and their honest trailers, but they just did one for Hook recently.
Oh, boy.
And they specifically reference I Can't Feel My Legs.
I'm going to have to check that out. You always bring that up. Why don't you forward those to me? You watch them, you keep them inside, and then you bring them up, and I'm like, that's really cool, and then I don't look at them.
I'm sorry that you have the memory power of a goldfish. And you can't remember from your memory to go do things that you remember. That was a very Zoolander-sounding insult.
I can't turn left. Wait, is it right? I don't even know. You're right. I am kind of like, what's that Disney movie? Dory? Yeah, Dory's the one without the memory. That is me. What were we talking about?
Dora the Explorer. Swiper, no swiping.
Nice. Let's talk some box office numbers. Can't Hardly Wait debuted at the box office on June 12, 1998. The film was distributed by Columbia Sony with a runtime of 101 minutes and a production budget of $10 million. They would open number 4 at the box office in week 1, bringing in a respectable $8 million. In week 2, they would drop 2 spots to number 6, brought in another 3.8, but that brought their 10-day total to just a tad over 16 million. JD, do you think the schoolyard effect was in play here?
I kind of feel like it was. I feel like this movie probably picked up steam a little bit. And when we're talking schoolyard, we're talking about the high school schoolyard. So under the bleachers behind the stadium, perhaps?
Yep. And this is right off the heels of American Pie. And you would think with all that being said that you would be correct, but you are incorrect. There was not a schoolyard effect. They would spend just one more week in the top 10, drop into the number 9 spot, and then they drop to number 15, and then they drop down to about 200 theaters, And they spent 12 weeks total in the theaters, but only three inside the top 10. Domestically, the film brought in $25,605,015. No international budget, no international numbers to budget in. And with all that being said, they did more than double the budget for the film, though. So, JD, thoughts on the numbers?
I would be curious to see what DVD sales are. I know this is a movie that plays very fondly in a lot of our memories.
Right.
But I don't, again, you know, even with DVD sales or video sales or Laserdisc rentals, I don't know that this movie necessarily ages well for the audience that it wasn't created for. I have to think somebody that's in high school now that sits down and sees what Seth Green's wearing, despite 90s clothes being completely like in vogue.
They're still back.
Are people dressing like that again?
They should be, with the goggles on the head and like the, how do you even describe the material he's wearing? Is that all leather or is it plastic? I don't know.
I don't know, but that was the real deal. That's what people looked like. It wasn't just all ripped jeans and flannels and plaids. Listen, audience, or younger audience members, people actually dressed like that. And Kyle is no exception.
I was just watching a movie the other day on TV, Accepted, with Jonah Hill, and he pledges that sorority. He's like, and they tell him he's going to get in. He's like, oh my God, do I get the hair gel now? Or when do I get the sideways hat? Like, yeah, that's totally me, dude. I would be so excited about getting some hair gel and joining a frat club.
Really? Obviously, you wouldn't go very far calling it a frat club.
Hi, guys. I'm here to join your frat club for festivities and fun.
Is that you, Kermit?
That was good, right?
That was pretty good. Yeah, never say frat club again. Note to self. Also, note to self, this is a good transition. We have a top 10 list, but we've actually already done the top 10 list. So a few shows back, we did Dirty Work in our archives. I believe we had your brother Jesse on for that one. Shout out to Jesse and his podcast that doesn't exist anymore. We love you, though, Jesse. We've already covered this list, so it's going to be a little repetitive here, but here's the top 10 movies of the week for June 12th, 1998. Number one was The Truman Show. Number two, 6 Days, Seven Nights. Number three, A Perfect Murder. Number four, Can't Hardly Wait. Number five, Godzilla. Number six, Hope Floats. Seven, Deep Impact. Number eight, The Horse Whisperer. Number nine, Dirty Work. And number 10, Titanic. JD, I've already asked you this question before, so I'm going to make it a little different. Which film are you hoping that we cover at some point out of that top 10 list?
Definitely not Titanic, much to your dismay.
You son of a bitch.
I don't know. I mean, that's kind of a weird lineup of movies. Obviously, Truman Show was, it appeared on a poll topic earlier and didn't win.
Missed by a hair. Really close one.
That'd be a fun one to do, but I would be curious to sit down and review the Godzilla film, especially with a new one coming out soon.
Ooh, good idea. That'd be a good one to pair together.
That was a good soundtrack.
Is that the Puff Daddy soundtrack?
Puff Daddy and the one Green Day Brain Stew where they had the Godzilla roaring in it when it was like...
Oh, nice. Yeah, I think that one's going to be good to do. Truman Show would be nice. I don't know if we would ever do a movie like Deep Impact. That would be a weird one, I think. JD, what do you think of the giant wave? Like, I mean, what do you say to that? I don't know.
Well, I did see Deep Impact in theater, so maybe this is where we just address the giant elephant in the room of Deep Impact. I saw it in theaters, and I thought the wave scene was very sad.
Okay. You know what else is sad is poor Jack dying on the bow of the Titanic. I mean, I don't know why you don't want to do that.
He was trying to steal Billy Zane's girl. He had it coming, an asshole.
There was room on the gosh dang float. She could have saved him. That's all I'm saying. There was room for two. Kate Winslet,
how dare you? Billy Zane is the hero of that movie, you son of a bitch.
Let's do some critic and audience response. As usual, we're going to use Rotten Tomatoes to gauge the response of the critics, and then I'm going to pull up Amazon Prime, and we'll see what the customers thought of Can't Hardly Wait on DVD. JD, how do you think the critics received Can't Hardly Wait?
Jeez, I don't know. we seem to pick movies that I think exist in a unique nebulous of critical response, because I don't think that this movie is created for its artistic and cinematic capabilities. I think that it is pre-built to be a nostalgic powerhouse. With that said, I think that there's a solid story, that there's decent performances, and the soundtracks make every scene memorable. Do critics respond favorably to that? I hope they do, but I'm feeling of pulling my score down by about 10. I want to say that they're going to come in at like 68%, but I'm going to just say 58% to play it safe.
Okay. Should have pulled it down by about 30. The overall percentage was 40% rotten. Oof. From the critics. In comparison, the audience response was closer to your guess. That one was 63%. Let's hear from a couple of the critics, and then I'll go to Amazon Prime for the customers. Roger Ebert gave the film 1.5 out of 4 stars and said the movie lumbers on gracefully from romantic showdowns to deep conversations to bathroom humor. Not a fan, Roger Ebert. JD, what do you think about old Raj?
You know, that's what makes it tough to try to judge a movie like this, because at the end of the day, it's not created for him.
Definitely
nor
not.
Is it created to be, you know, the kind of movie that's going to be studied in film clubs or in film school, where they're going to say, look at this amazing progressive way that they shot the scene, or look at the lighting or cinematography. Like, none of that is what this movie is about. So I think it's a little bit harsh, because the things that he say are negatives, I think, are kind of positives.
Okay, good point. Janet Maslin of the New York Times gave it a big thumbs up and said, flip through any yearbook and you'll find the stock characters who amusingly populate the teenage comedy can't hardly wait. I think that's pretty accurate. I like the analogy too. What'd you think?
Yeah, that's why this is a good movie, because it's relatable. And, you know, maybe these characters don't change from 1998 to 2018. Maybe they do. But for us, I mean, this is definitely a movie that we can resonate with, and you can't help but watch this movie and be like, yep, oh, there's George, and oh, here comes Tom. And
yeah. Okay, and I've got one more positive one, and I like this one because it talks about the writing aspect, so I'm interested to hear your comments on this. Kevin Thomas of the Los Angeles Times said, for all its nonstop energy and high spirits, Can't Hardly Wait allows its characters to emerge as fully dimensional individuals. They've been ridden with care and perception and played with equal aplomb by a roster of talented young actors. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's a great summarization of the movie, and it puts a great frame to the characters and really gives credit to the development and the arc that each one goes through, because essentially you have a series of different mini stories existing within this larger story, leading Ethan Embry on his quest for love.
Okay. So let's go to Amazon Prime. Take a look here at not the audience, but the customer response. So Can't Hardly Wait carries a 4.5 out of 5 star rating based off of 251 customer reviews. The most latest one that I saw came from Gina Marie. She said, I watched this movie today and it is still as glorious as it was in the day. I actually made Amanda's yearbook quote my 8th grade yearbook quote. So clearly I was a huge fan of this movie. Seeing Seth Green as Special K and Ethan Embry as a lovesick puppy makes me smile. Rent or buy this movie now. I think that's pretty good. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's the goal of this movie. Like, that review sums up what they were hoping and planning, and I think achieved.
Well, let's graduate to what we want to talk about later in the week when we get into Can't Hardly Wait. JD, what's one thing you look forward to most when we dive into the full review?
Again, it's definitely the music and just how the music reflects the emotion and reflects both the excitement and the angst of these high school characters. I think it's a well-crafted, well-thought-out soundtrack, and I'm looking to relive a lot of those songs that I may not have listened to in a few months.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be back later in the week. Like I said, probably Wednesday or Thursday this episode will drop. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Everything is at Back in Time Pod. We're up on Facebook at facebook.com/backintimepod. You can also email us at backintimepodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to support our sponsor, Bunny17 Media. Back in Time at checkout saves you 15%. Just type in that code. But it is time to climb back into the DeLorean, punch in today's date, return back to present day. We'll see y'all Wednesday with the full review. Later.